Thanks, Nelson. Nathan. Nelson. Nathan. Yeah, Nathan.
Nelson's a good one. I'll go with that.
We'll start calling you Nelson. Yeah, right. Nathan Sterner, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving, give him a hand. It's Tom Hall, it's Marilyn Morning, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Monica Lopez-Gonzalez. She is a cognitive neuroscientist whose work is focused on understanding the process of creative thinking. She's also a photographer and a theater artist, and the writer-director of a trilogy of plays, the third of which is receiving its world premiere next weekend at the Theater Project. It's called Framed Illusion, and Monica Lopez-Gonzalez joins me in Studio A. It's good to see you, Monica.
Likewise. Thank you.
So tell me about the trilogy, the whole group of these plays, of which Framed Illusion, the premiere next week, is the third.
Yeah, it's a trilogy because I'm a Romance language speaker, and I was determined to make a Romance language trilogy for the stage. And so my first play I wrote in Spanish called Última Partida, in which I presented in Spanish with English surtitles, so it was called The Final Draw. The second play I wrote in French, but I produced it in English, and it was called In Session. It's a French title for those of you who like French, is Chez l'Analyste. And this play I actually wrote in both English and Italian, and it's called Framed Illusion in English, but in Italian, Cornice di un'illusione. And the idea is that I'm really fascinated to see how different languages work with music, live musical improvisation.
Because each of these plays includes this dimension of a player or players reacting to what's going on.
Yes.
Thematically and dramatically with improvised music.
Exactly. And so the idea here is that if I can see if when I change the language or when I change sort of the cultural context to see what will happen in real time when musicians are asked to improvise and react to the dialogue on stage or the body language on stage or the scenery on stage.
So the first one, Ultima Partida, was set in a cabaret.
Yes.
The second one, In Session, the French one, it's a plastic surgeon and her psychiatrist.
Yep.
And this third one, Framed Illusion, tell us the setup for this one.
In this one, I take the idea of an interrogation room. I take the characters of a police detective and a suspect, and both are women. They're both femme fatales. This is my response to how film noir really should be, what it should be about, and the genre in film, but as well as in theater, and the idea that we need two strong female characters. And so both the suspect and the detective play really a game of cat versus cat. They're both very smart, they're both very conniving, and they're both innocent in a way, and so they play off of each other.
There have been a number of festivals, a couple of which have been produced here in Baltimore, that concentrate on female playwrights mm-hmm. and female plays that have strong female characters. This fits certainly right into that very welcome and growing trend, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting because I didn't literally do it because of this growing trend. This was sort of it was my reaction to all the film world and the theater world where I have seen lack of strong characters, and it just turned out that this one, since I wanted to continue a two-person dialogue, that this would be a great moment where you can have two people really face-to-face.
You are fluent in Spanish, French, pretty fluent in Italian,
yeah.
as well as English, obviously. How does multilingualism play into the creation of this work, and how does it inform, you know, what you're trying to put across?
Yeah, it's actually, when I'm writing these plays, I'm literally hearing both languages, or sometimes even all three, all four at the same time.
That can get confusing.
I love language, and I studied, even when I was in my PhD in cognitive science, I studied the mechanics of linguistics, semantics, pragmatics, and syntax. And that, it does inform my plays a lot, and informs both how I choose the exact words I want to use, the poetry I want to create within and between the languages. And there gets a point when I finally finish the play where I say, okay, I have to just think in one language to finalize and edit it. But I'm constantly thinking all three, and that's a reason why I've created this trilogy, really to put my interest of language and put it out in different contexts.
There's some research recently, which I'm sure you know a lot more about than I do, saying that folks who speak more than one language, if you're multilingual, tend to be happier. They tend to be more content. Have you read this research? And what do you think? You seem like a very happy person.
I haven't heard about the happiness, but that's great.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised, because when an infant is learning or hearing multiple languages while they're learning language, they literally have different grammars. They're following different grammars in their mind. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's this constant searching for the language, which word to use, which word not to use. And you will notice if you deal with young bilinguals, they are constantly what's called code switching. So they're bringing in pieces of different languages within a single sentence. And so that's how it's a joke between us multilinguals, and we laugh about it. So maybe that's where the happiness comes in.
Well, when you're doing your work as a scientist, you're very concerned with the creative process, how people create, and this cognitive relationship between artistic stuff, or emotional stuff, you know, intellectual, rational stuff. What do you learn about that as a theater artist? What are you teaching yourself as a cognitive scientist when you write, and in this case, even star in the productions?
Yeah. So as a scientist, I come in asking the question, you know, what will happen during the live creative process on stage? And I create the works with specific emotional parts, specific conceptual parts that I want to see what will happen when the musicians have to translate that into music. As the artist, I'm literally listening to how I as a character will react to the music in real time. And I'm also seeing how that affects our communication between emotions as characters and as people. And the science side is, what does that mean for how emotion is involved in the creative process?
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. All right. Well, break a leg next weekend. Have a great time. It's
Thank
good to see you.
So
Thanks
much.
For coming by. Dr. Monica Lopez-Gonzalez, she's the creator and star of Framed Illusion, which opens at the Theater Project in Baltimore next week. It starts Thursday night, runs until Sunday, June 12th. The following weekend, there will be two cabaret-style performances at Germano's Piattini in Little Italy. We've got a link to ticket information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show is produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, with production assistance from Lauren Ferguson. Lauren just graduated from Towson University. Welcome to the real world, Lauren. Austin Coughlin has been in the real world for longer than he'd like to admit. He's from Clean Cuts, and he wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can find them online, ZEKES Coffee.com. We'll be back on Monday with a special Memorial Day edition of Maryland Morning. I'll talk to the public interest lawyer and MacArthur Genius Grant winner Brian Stevenson, who has worked for 30 years with inmates on death row. We'll also meet a very talented young student from Baltimore, Vivi Etemé, who landed a role in a major motion picture about Nina Simone. That's all coming up Memorial Day morning on Maryland Morning. On behalf of the entire Maryland Morning team, we hope you have a good holiday weekend. Our thoughts this weekend are with the families of veterans who have lost their lives. We thank those veterans and the people they've left behind for their service, and we thank those who still serve. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening.